Okay. So now we're talking about some more of the rules about basis. Okay. So it says lefamim. I'm in the second paragraph on page 5. Lefamim rotzim laniach et devar hamukze ba'aron. So sometimes you want to put it in a closet. This happens a lot, right? I want to put something away for Shabbat. I don't want it to be around the house. I want to put it away in the closet. Ella shehoil ve'ein sham makom panui. So there's not enough space. I have things stacked up on the floor of my closet. So it's not like open shelf, open space to put it. Manichim oto abeget sheba'aron. So let's say I have a piece of a jacket or something on the floor, or I have something else on the floor of the closet. So the question is, when I put the davar mukzeh, right? I put my iPad, let's say. Right? Actually, last week, I forgot to tell you. So after the class last week, I spoke to Rabbi Shub, and he thought that iPad is probably not mukzeh ma'achman chisaron kis, because people give it to their kids to play with, and they're not so makpid about maintaining it.
Yeah, they're durable.
Yeah, that's what you said, right? That they're durable.
Like a phone is also. What about a phone?
Yeah, I don't think he thought that a phone either.
So it's not mukzeh, but it's
no, it's mukzeh. It's not right. Klis shemachtoli sur, not mukzeh machon chisaron kis. Then he'd be allowed to move it l'tzorach gufo mekomo. That's the big difference.
If it's chisaron kis, then you can't move it no matter.
Even l'tzorach gufo mekomo, right? But this you would be allowed to move l'tzorach gufo mekomo.
What does chisaron kis mean?
It literally means a monetary law. So it's something that you're very makpid not to move around so much because you're afraid something's going to happen to it. Okay. So he said, like, I don't know, maybe the jewelers here can tell me, but like the tweezers and like the loop that the jewelers use, sometimes they're very careful about not using it for other things and they're very particular about it. I don't know. You guys can tell me.
Except for picking my teeth. or my nails.
Anyway, so he
the
thought.
Best. Sometimes.
Really? Then for him, it's definitely not mukzeh ma'achon chisaron kis. Yeah.
You go to any jewelry show, you get 50.
Anyways, so he said.
My dad doesn't like it. My dad doesn't like it. I have one designated.
I wouldn't let my kid use it because he's going to poke his eye out.
No, okay, fine. No, I was saying because it's going to break. That's the thing. If it's going to break.
It's like
a
inner molder.
You can drop it 100 times, it's not
going to break. Okay, fine. So if you're using something. And also, could also be subjective. I mean, it could also depend on the person, the circumstances. That could also determine whether or not mukzeh ma'achon kis or not. Okay, fine. That was just a...
Yeah, for Warren Buffett, maybe a Lamborghini isn't...
maybe. I don't know. It depends how careful he is about certain things. But listen, people who have lots of money is usually... They're usually not...
They're usually stingy.
Right. Not necessarily... It could be stingy, it could be not stingy, but still they're very careful about how they spend their money and how they take care of their things. Okay. Okay, anyway, so this happens a lot, right? So you put this on the mukzeh thing, your iPad. Let's say your iPad is kishim ha'tol yisur. You put it in your closet and your jacket is sitting on the floor of the closet. Question is, does the jacket become also mukzeh ma'achon chisaron kis? Does it have a status of a basis as well? Or no, is it the okay, so let's see what the reasoning, okay? The
nechleku before Shabbat, yes.
The nechleku haim hanachazu hofechet et habeged l'mukzeh. So they argue about whether or not the leaving it there makes the beged mukzeh or not. Yesh omrim shohil uve poal hamukzeh hunach al habeged mitoch muda'ot. Some people say, since in practice it's left there with a person's knowledge, he knows that it's there. Now, said beged basis of davar asur, you put it in there on purpose, it becomes basis. The yesh omrim, I like this svara a lot. Shohil uve lo hitkaven shamukzeh ya'amod dafka alav. Meaning, basis means a basis. Meaning, I want the thing on the bottom to be there holding up the thing on the top. Here, it's not that I want my coat to be underneath my iPad. It's just I don't have a place to put my iPad. There's no place. The closet isn't big enough to have things spread out. So I need to put the one thing on top of the other, but not because I particularly want this to be there supporting the other thing. So he says, lo naaseh habeged basis ledavar hasur. So in that case, the beged does not become a basis. Okay, he says lemaaseh b'shat hatzorech afshar lakel. So in a situation of need, he says a person can be lenient and not treat the thing on the bottom like a basis. Now, in the note here, he has a couple of interesting points. He said, let's say I wanted it to be there only for part of Shabbat. I'm not sure what I was planning on doing it afterwards. I don't know. Maybe a goy was going to come and take it or something. So he says that's machlokes in Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. And he says Shulchan Aruch seems to be machmir. But maybe in shatat chak you could be lenient. And let's say in inverse case, let's say somebody put the mukzeh there on Shabbat, so then he says it's also a machloket rishonim, and he says Mishnah Berurah is Mikil. Okay, now worry about this. This is an interesting case, okay? Look at the bold stuff in note 3. It says, Habasis ne'asar rak ka'asher hu mishamesh et ha-mukseh sha'alav. Right? So the basis only becomes mukseh when it is serving the mukseh that is on top of it. However, ka'asher ha-mukseh mishamesh et ha-basis, but in a situation where the mukseh is serving the basis, like what? In a basis ne'asar. Lefichach. Im hiniach eben al chavit. Let's say he has a barrel and he doesn't want the cover to come off, to fly off, whatever. So he puts a big rock on top to keep the cover in place. So there, the eben is mukseh. The barrel is a basis for the eben, right? But there, he didn't. The basis is not there for the mukseh. The barrel is not there for the mukseh. The mukseh is there for the barrel. The mukseh is serving the purposes of the barrel. So in that case, does not become a basis, okay? Oh, chatichot samar mukseh akteira v'dishmar chumah. Let's say I take a piece of wool that's mukseh. It's something that I can't move, right? Let's say it's unfinished. It's not really usable, right? And I put it on top of the pot to insulate the pot. In that case, the pot or whatever it is that I cover with is not going to become mukseh, okay? So basis is only when the thing on the bottom is serving the thing on top. When the thing on top, the mukseh which on top is serving the thing that's on the bottom, so then it does not become a basis, it does not become a
sword. So can I just give a simple case to understand it better?
Try.
Alright, so I think it's a simple case. Maybe I'm wrong. So if before Shabbat, like an iPad is in a bag or a briefcase,
yeah,
and then during Shabbat I realize, oh, I want to use that bag to carry like Sfarim to
right.
Shul.
Good.
So then I can't like take that out for the like makom or whatever, like to use the bag as a bag.
Okay, so that's a very good question. I'm not 100% sure about this, but I know that definitely there are people lenient about this. That in that case, you could say that the assuming the iPad, let's say, is klishimach totally sur, not muktzamach manchisar mukis. So then you could say that the bag that it's in is no worse than the iPad itself. So even if the bag becomes a basis, it could be that it's a basis that has the status of klishimach totally sur. In which case, I would still be allowed to move it.
So you're saying, oh, why would a bag in general be mukta?
No, because it's a basis.
Because of the basis. But
yeah,
then
yeah.
It becomes
a klishim lachtoli sur.
Oh, it becomes whatever's on it?
I definitely, there are people who hold like that, for sure. There definitely are people who hold like that. There may be people who are machmir also. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet in his writings.
Yeah.
I've been wondering this question for many years.
Yeah.
But I definitely once asked one rabbi and he told me that it's no worse than a klishim malach toli.
But if it was like
an eben,
a shochan knife or
right,
like that,
or
sure
a stone or
and
a coin,
takes it off.
Let's say coins,
yeah.
Right? And you know if somebody takes it off or I want it, whatever.
Then
the bag itself, as long as I was planning on leaving there. Or let's say a better example, a wallet, right? Uh-huh. So my wallet, I want to keep all my mukseh things in my wallet on Shabbat. So in that case, all those things would be my wallet itself. I can't take off the wallet, take the stuff out of the wallet, I can't dump everything out and decide to use my wallet for something else.
Okay.
Okay. Dan, may I get some water, please? Some water? Thank you. Okay.
Got cups.
Okay, now let's take another case. This is a very common case. Okay, matzah kesef o divrei muktzah achrim bekis pigdo. Okay, so Shabbat starts. He's walking to Beit Knesset, walking home from Beit Knesset, or he's in the Beit Knesset, and he finds something muktzah in his pocket. Right, he finds some coins in his pocket. It happens all the time. So he says, kevan shemin astam shachach otam sham. He didn't intend on leaving them there. He must have just forgotten them there. Lo naaseh bigdo basis ledavar haasur. So his baguette, his clothing, did not become a basis ledavar ha'asur. Okay? So therefore he's allowed to move the clothing. Okay? Aval kedei shelo yamshich leitalech kesha ha'mukseh b'kizo. But you don't want to keep moving the mukseh. Right? I once asked Rabbi Willig, why is this considered to be moving mukseh if he finds it in his pocket? Isn't this considered to be like moving it like kalachar yad or moving it in an unusual way? So he said that no, since carrying coins in my pocket is the normal way to move the coins, so this is considered to be moving mukteh in the normal way, and therefore I have to do whatever I can to get the coins out of my pocket. Thank you very much.
What's it to carry with a sheet of paper?
No. I'm saying, I was just taking a side point. Why isn't this considered to be moving it with a shinui? which we're going to see is mutar. So he says, because this is the normal way to carry coins, it's not considered to be muktzah with a shini. So what do you do?
But once you're holding something muktzah, you're allowed to put it down wherever you want.
Correct. If I picked it up beheta. We'll see. He's going to discuss that.
Up,
I mean, that's his klishon matol yisur, right? And I picked up a sort of kufo and mekomo.
Not if you picked up
the yisur. So that's a sheila. I'm not sure if he'll talk about it or we'll get to it later. I'm not sure if it's yisur. But if I picked it up beheter, then I can move it anywhere. I think yisur, that's more of a machlok.
Well,
but
if it was mutar, then that's what we would just say over here. Just walk wherever you want. Put it wherever you want.
But this is not mutar.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm saying if Yisur was mutar.
Yeah. Thank you. And we just say, some of the coins are not mutar.
Exactly. Since we're not just saying, put it wherever you want, then it seems like.
Oh, you're saying the fact that I can't do what I want is an indication.
That Yisur, it's only what you said, Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Okay, good. Okay, so good. Now I understand what you're saying. Saying this case, the fact that, okay, good. The fact that I have to take it out right away is a proof that even if I pick something up, be sure, I can't take it wherever I want. I have to, okay, very good. Thank you very much. That's a good proof. But we'll see in a second. Let's see. So you should tell the Narazan Mukhtev and Mivigda. Okay, so he said you should try to shake out the Mukhtev from your clothing. I'm sorry?
You're going to take off your pants.
Good. Let's say I'm in Kanisa, right? I'm in the middle of shul. I'm not going to take my pants off in the middle of shul to shake out my coins, right? So he says, oh, shehu choshesh shedavar musenu yovad sham. Let's say he's on Milnik Road. So first of all, it's embarrassing. Second of all, who's going to come pick up my money? It's going to we're talking about if we find coins in your pocket on Shabbat.
Okay.
So it's going to get lost down there, right? So mutar lo lahamshich lalechad bebigdo ad shiagil lemakom shebol uyuchal lena'er tamukzeh. So he says, then I'm allowed to go somewhere private and shake it out there. Now, I'm not sure if this is because that b'shat ha'tchak you can rely on the opinion that even if I pick it up b'yisur, I'm allowed to put it down wherever I want. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that it's like, what's it called? It's like kavod ha'briyot, right? Kavod ha'briyot. So we allow you to certainly suri d'rabanan in a situation of human dignity. So to speak. So I'm not sure which of those factors he's talking about, but either way.
Another question.
Yeah.
Related. This is only, you're only allowed to like postpone taking off your pants and airing it, getting the coins out.
Right.
Because it's Issur d'Rabbanan, correct? But if it was like a Issur d'Oraita, like shot as if you all of a sudden found.
So that's what the Gemara and Masechet Brachot discusses. That if it's an Issur d'Oraita b'kum va'aseh, then in theory at least, you should have to stop right away. Yeah, I think so. You have to look at the Gemara.
You didn't take out the page. You just like take out like the pocket and like slowly like, just bring it out.
Very good.
Or get someone really strong to hold you upside down.
Seriously, why do you think you just go like this?
Okay, so let's see if the pocket is considered. Yeah, you're right. I'm sure that's a good. But sometimes you'll have something that's like, let's say a wallet or something that's a little tight in the pocket. So it's harder.
Like crease it out.
Back pocket.
This, yeah. Every pocket has a socket that you could pick up. So.
Wait, so we're. Sorry,
how do they have to be
except
worried?
Except for a shirt pocket.
Do you have to be worried to touch it like it's lava? Like, you nip it, like, what's the big deal? I feel like this is taking it too far.
Right, I hear. You're saying that's kalachar yad.
You could obviously, if it touches your hand, you're not like.
Right. Good. Okay.
Like,
no, seriously. No. What you're saying makes sense.
Do
I like
you have to
thinking.
Treat it like it's lava, or if it, you know, if you're trying to get it out without touching it, you nip it like it's not the end of the world.
Right. So again, if you touch, especially if I'm holding onto the cloth,
it's
only
like
touch
fanatique.
Listen, I mean, that's so fanatic.
Like, if it nips you, it's not a big deal. I don't think it's meant to be a big
right.
deal.
Right, you're saying. Well, I'll give you. I'll make a halachic argument that if I'm holding onto the pocket and the back.
Don't be like a fanatic.
I'm saying probably if I were to touch it, that probably would be considered like kalachar yad in an unusual way. It'd be like the back of my hand. Whenever I'm just touching it, I wouldn't be moving it.
Or like you're turning it out of your pocket and like it grinds you into the side of your hand. Or like a shirt pocket. It's not a big deal.
Sean, if you're reading Korbanot for Yisrei Dura Banan, I don't know, it's has some problems.
Yeah, you gotta bring Korban for that.
Okay. Okay, let's see in the note, okay? Now let's take about a case. So let's have another case, okay? Fakis Bigdo. Let's say he was in an accident. Wasn't that he forgot to take the money out of his pocket? Let's say he purposely wanted to keep the money in his pocket for Shabbat. Let's say he has like a suit jacket, right, or whatever, a sports jacket, or like a coat that he only wears during the week, and he leaves his wallet there specifically, wants it there on Shabbat, and hangs it up in his closet. Okay, then suddenly his suit jacket gets dirty, and he wants to wear that suit instead, but he planned to leave the wallet there for Shabbat for sure. So what's the halacha in that case? So he says, "Im ikar beged mishamesh dofan lakis kigo kimo kis hachutza." So let's say, like a shirt pocket, right? So in a shirt pocket, part of the pocket is the shirt itself, right? One of the walls of the pocket is the shirt itself. And he says, in that case, so in that case, the whole shirt becomes basis, and I'm not allowed to move the shirt at all. It's a basis, okay? Let's say it's only sewn on, right? Let's say like your pants pocket. Your pants pocket is sewn into your pants. It's not like the pants itself is part of the pocket. It's just I have a separate pocket that's sewn into the pants. So, כמו בכיס המכנסיים, אין הבגד נעשה בסיס למה שבכיס, כי הכיס תפל לבגד ומותר לתפל לבגד. So in that case, I would be allowed to move the בגד. אבל כאשר אפשר, אין הרתם מוקסה מן הכיס. If you can, shake out the מוקסה from the כיס. ובתנאי שלא יכניס את ידו לכיס ולא יגע בכיס. But you can't touch the pocket itself, because the pocket itself becomes a בסיס.
So you can't do what he said.
Right, in this case you can. In his case you probably can, because the pocket never became a basis, because you never intended to leave it there for Shabbat. But in this case, where you did intend to leave it there for Shabbat, so even if the pants don't become a basis, but the pocket became a basis, right, because you intended to leave it in the pocket. Okay, fine. That's what he says.
Does it actually, it has to be like intention, like I'm leaving this here, or does it just, or is it just like, you're not intentionally putting it there, but that's like that jacket that you wear every day. So like you normally just leave it a while there. So,
I think that's also.
That's also.
Yeah, I wanted it to be there, and I didn't even. I have no reason to take it out before Shabbat started. But if it's Friday morning, I just happen to put it down somewhere, right? And then I wasn't putting it down there because I wanted it to be there for Shabbat. I just put it down there because I put it down there, and then I forgot. So I think in that case, most poskim would say that it's not considered. You know, some just think that Erev Shabbat automatically makes everything a basis. I think most poskim would say in that case that it's not a basis. But at least if you have makom tzorech.
So back to the original case that you're just like walking and you have your wallet on you. Let's say it's not a case of embarrassment. It's in like a shirt pocket. You could just do like that and like, or like drop it out.
Yeah.
Then do you have to drop your wallet in the middle of the street?
No, so that's what they say. If it's a situation of loss, and I'm afraid that if I leave it in this place, something's going to happen to it, so I can just also wait till I get to a safe place, and okay. I can leave it there.
Okay, Rabbi, so there's no, basis is a block, it's like blocking, so it's not considered mukseh?
Which case are you talking about?
Well, if I find coins in my pocket.
And they're there by accident.
Yeah.
So since I didn't intend on leaving there for Shabbat, so nothing becomes a basis. The coins themselves are mukzeh, but the shirt, the pocket, everything
is not
mukzeh.
So I'm allowed to continue walking.
You should, at your earliest convenience, you should shake it out of your pocket, because you're still moving the coins.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's
the story. I asked a very Rabbi Nebenzahl in Yeshiva.
Yeah,
Rabbi, I'm walking into the bathroom and I have a piece of Torah inside my pocket. Am I allowed to walk into the bathroom? And he said that there's a few pockets.
Chop off the lid.
You have two levels. Two covers.
Yes.
Right. So you have two covers, right.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's say it's in like a plastic bag and it's in my pocket. That would be two covers.
Right.
Some people say I can even use especially if it's a hardcover book, I could even use the cover of the book as one cover.
Wow.
And then my pocket would be a second cover.
Would that matter which type of pocket? If it's a shirt pocket, would that not count as a pocket?
Because open on top.
Because it's like part of the shirt. Whereas
no, that would count as one. I mean, it would count as one still.
Okay, so it's
and then you need another cover.
If it's intentional and there's a basis, what's the situation? What do you have to do?
Then the basis itself is mukta.
And you can't even touch the pocket, so you have to like take off your pants and.
Yeah, but I'm doing. But usually you don't purposely leave coins in a pants. You plan on wearing on Shabbat. or you will purposely leave your ballot in your pants for Shabbat. Usually not.
So what is it? What
mean? But mean if the case of basis would be if I purposely put it there and I didn't plan on wearing it on Shabbat because I was I put it there because I wasn't planning on wearing it. Like I had my jacket hanging in my closet, right? I left my wallet in the jacket. So I wasn't planning on wearing this jacket, and then I said I want to wear the jacket. So then it depends on what type of pocket it is. And then, but other lots of other cases could be basis. Let's say I keep coins in this bowl always in my closet, and I want to decide I want to use the bowl for something else, or I have a shelf that I table where I always keep my iPad there, or whatever. And I want to move the table, whatever. So all the situations, the thing underneath, if it was normal, was purposely kept there, would become basis. Okay, good, fine. Zayin, kelim shemlachtam liyisur.
Okay. Everything.
No. Okay, hammer, so let's see. Axe.
Yeah, I guess so.
Machete. No.
Okay. So Kaylee. So Kaylee.
Machete.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. So Kaylee shemalachtam liyisurim. Kaylee mechafesim shirgim asotam zvarim shasurim b'shabbat. Okay. So these are Kaylee that I normally do things that are forbidden on Shabbat. Kedugmat patish a hammer. Isparaim scissors machat a needle. Sevet, pliers, the sefer telefonim, a telephone book. Okay, all these things that when I use them during the week, I normally use them for melacha. The kevan shem miyuadim letzorach dvarim she'asurim b'shabbat hem muktzeh. They're set aside, not supposed to be used on Shabbat. Ulamineged kevan she'shal shemesh b'hem legam letzorach dvarim mutarim, since they have a permitted use. If it had no permitted use whatsoever, so it's completely muktzeh. But since it has a permitted use, en adam makzeh otam legam midato, he doesn't completely exclude them. They have an in-between position. As a general rule, it's muktzeh. Even if I put it somewhere, let's say, that it may get damaged, right, or may get stolen, I'm still not allowed to move it, it's muktzeh. Okay? So it's only for now. Okay? So it's muktzeh. But mutar letzel oto tzorkufo mikomo. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch can move it for itself, right? If I need it for something, use it for something, which will explain what it means, or if I need the place. So, for example, tzorech gufo. What's tzorech gufo? Hainu kedei lishtamesh bo letzorech mutar. To use it for a permitted purpose. Kigon, patish letzorech pitzuach egozim. This is the most famous example, right? If I have a hammer, and I want to use it to crack open a walnut. That's the most famous example. That's considered klishim l'aftol l'isur letzorech gufo. Misparayim kedei leftoach bahem sakit chalav, right? In Israel, Baruch Hashem, all the milk is in bags.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to cut open a milk bag. So I can take out a regular pair of scissors, even though it's muktzeh, it's used for cutting paper, used for cutting clothing, cloth, whatever it is, but I'm allowed to use it, letzorech cutting the milk bag. Right? Similarly, I once heard that, I have to confirm this, but let's say, you know, the plastic, you have like a tag on your clothing, there's like a plastic thing that attaches it, right? So cutting that plastic thing is mutar. So I'd be able to use scissors for that also, because
what?
You know, like if I have a tag on my clothing,
like you just got a shirt. It's like you just got
it's attached. There's like a piece of plastic that attaches the tag to the shirt.
You could do that on Shabbat.
Yeah, you could do that on Shabbat.
Like a patish, like finishing like the shirt or something like that.
I don't think so.
Wait, why?
You could just finish.
Yeah, Rabbi, why?
Just ripping it off. Can you do that?
Yeah, you just rip it off. So you could even use scissors. That's the point.
How about the dry cleaners? Like the dry cleaner tag?
I once asked Rabbi Baruch Simon, he said it's okay.
Really?
The what?
The dry cleaner tag.
Should we be careful not to rip the letters on it?
I guess lechatchila, yeah. Sfaradim aren't as particular as Ashkenazim about the letters thing, but...
Yeah.
But I guess lechatchila,
so hard to not rip letters on a bag of chips?
Yeah. It depends how much you're opening the bag, but yeah.
I've heard some people say you can't even open a bag of chips because you're bona clean.
Yeah, there's such an opinion like that. But if you
it's not bonnet. Bonnet is supposed to be like a really a permanent thing.
I know.
No, but maybe bonnet means rabbanan. So that's what I'm gonna say.
Only if you
destroy the bag in the process, so then it's gonna be mutar.
Yeah, they say open it from both sides.
Right, something like that. Or you cut it along the side that's like completely open, like nobody would use it to store anything anymore. But then that makes it much harder not to cut the letter.
But it's not used as a cleat, so that's ridiculous.
Unless some people do.
I mean,
in general, known people don't use it as a kli, so why would we say that?
I mean, that's what means Rabbanan. I don't know. It definitely looks like a kli.
Okay, but it's not used.
Disposable. Okay, probably. My guess is the Ravadi would allow it. I haven't.
What?
Maybe our next topic.
Maybe our next topic
will be opening packages. We'll see if Rav Malamin has something on.
I feel like stuff boxing. Like that turns people off. Like,
so don't tell the people. Like, turned off. So don't tell them. Don't tell them. Good. Don't tell them. So don't tell them. I have a sefer.
Ridiculous.
I found this this kuntrus at home, like, oh, like a 50-page, 100-page sefer called Pia Patcha V'Chochma, about opening bottles and packages on Shabbat. Called the Pia Patcha V'Chochma.
What about it?
About Mutar, Asur, whatever.
What's Asur?
It's 100 pages, you can read it.
For Ashkenaz, it's much more...
I think it's more strict for Ashkenaz.
Yeah. They always used to make the Sephardis open the bottle.
Really?
Yeah, my yeshiva always. Yeah, my rabbi used to call me over, he's like, come.
I don't get it. If it's Asur for them, why is it Mutar?
Different because Ashkenazim think that
oh, Kevin?
If Chacham Avadia allows something, that means all the Sephardim automatically allow it. So Chacham Avadia probably allowed it, so that's why they said, oh, Sephardim allow it, probably.
I told him.
Okay.
All right. You know what else is crazy? The idea that we can't use an umbrella on Shabbat. I find that
there's some people say it's Mutar Legami, some people say it's Isur Doraita.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Rav Chaim says if you see someone do it, don't say anything. But
he said
he wouldn't go tell people to do it because so many people think it's not allowed.
Yeah, but I remember Rav Chaim saying that.
He thought you could rely on the leading opinions, yeah?
That
yeah.
He doesn't think that it's...
When he came for Shabbat 2 years ago...
Absolutely not.
When he came to Hawaii for Shabbat 2 years ago, so it was raining that night, and there was some the couples from the Heights came to eat in the calf. So there was one couple, and the wife was like 7 or 8 months pregnant, and it was raining outside. So they asked Rabbi Chaim if they could use an umbrella. They asked me first. I'm like, I have no idea. Asked Rabbi Chaim. He's here. So they asked Rabbi Chaim if they could use an umbrella. He said, if you do it b'tzina, nobody sees it. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Now, that was the tradition. She's a chola. So it's chola.
The problem is that
Greyback
is a rishuter name. You can't carry it anyway.
Really?
No, it's not a
shame. Wait, you can't carry in Grey Neck?
Some people... You didn't come to Aaron Levion's...
Some of these people hold that you can't carry
in Grey Neck. Rabban Chaim, I've heard him, he's pretty supportive of the Erev in Grey Neck, Rabban Chaim.
He doesn't use it.
He doesn't use it himself?
He has nothing to carry.
A lot okay, of but I think he's
they,
still...
They give a lot of...
No, but Erev specifically... I'm saying, but he thought, like, relative to other... He thought, like, I think there's a seawall around a lot of Grey Neck?
There's what?
A seawall.
Yeah, Grey Neck is
it's on water.
So he thought that
sea wall.
Yeah.
Like the ocean is a wall.
No, I mean, they build walls.
It's like a hand
around the coasts,
along
the shore, so like to protect the.
We still have to do an Eruv Chatzerot.
Yeah, okay, so of course they do. I mean, they do Eruv Chatzerot anyway. So not that they do.
They
do a
communal
one.
Do a
communal one, don't worry.
They didn't give
you
matzah.
There's a lot of issues. Let's just leave it at that.
They do zechiah for everybody.
Super covered all the issues.
What's the best way to carry your key if you have to carry it? Where should you put it?
Part of
community.
If you want to rely on the Eruv, you can carry it. If you don't want to rely on the Eruv, or you're trying to avoid relying on the Eruv, whatever, you can carry it with the Shinui.
Rabbi, I have a question.
The guy, why you created a belt instead of the pin.
Yeah, they have those also.
Yeah,
that's a Shabbos belt. They have them. Or they have ones that, like, there's like two clips, sort of, that like you need to connect them to make the belt, so you could use a key to sort of connect the two clips. In that case, it's holding the belt together, so it's functional. It's Shabbos belts. You can go to any Judaica store and ask them for a Shabbos. I don't know if they maybe even have one in this Judaica store. I don't know.
Is it closed yet or not yet?
They just opened.
They opened on 581 Mill Neck Road.
Right next door.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's open there. He closed in downtown, and then he closed in town, and he opened over here.
Oh, that's smart.
Because there's more and more cases.
Rabbi Cohen,
I'm guessing that his rent's probably a little bit cheaper up north, I guess. Rabbi Cohen does own the building also.
Yeah, Rabbi Cohen.
So, he probably gave him a good deal.
They're definitely collaborating on something.
Yeah.
Rabbi Cohen definitely sells a lot more
folks than Yeah, and it makes it great. He has more traffic, whatever.
Yeah, more
religious traffic. Northern Great Neck is definitely more religious than Southern Great Neck.
Exactly.
So
you don't need those moms who are going without clothing.
But I feel like whatever you need something in Judaica store, you're gonna go get it. It's not like, I see it now, I'm gonna get it. It's like,
I mean, listen, there's a lot of traffic coming out of Rabbi Cohen Shul.
Yeah.
So people stop. It's a Friday morning. You don't have school, you don't have yeshiva, whatever. Right. So stop by, you know, find something, whatever. Right. I don't know. I hope or Sunday morning, Rabbi Cohen has 4 or 5 minyanim.
Do they sell?
So
they sell everything, I think.
Yeah, they do that.
Rabbi, I want to get your take on this. In my house, I have a door that it's electronically. Yeah, my dad put it in. I can't argue with that. But you know, I have to go through the back. I have to go through the back. But he put a electronic door that you have to put like a code.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like it's obviously not going to be locked on Shabbat. Like,
we're going to leave it open.
Okay, or so what's the problem? Right?
So I'd be able to turn it, right?
That's like a cliche of Tali Yisur. That's Orech Gufo, Mekomo, whatever.
So I'm good. No good.
I, off the top of my head, I don't see why not. I don't think it would be considered Muksem Achla Chisar in Kis. I don't think so. Because Batel to the door.
Yeah.
So, I'm not giving you a psak, but it sounds okay to me.
Okay.
I'm not giving you a psak, but it sounds okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Fine. Fine. Anyway, so back to this, okay? So he says, fine. Now, Sora Kufa. All right, so I was saying about cutting the shirt tag with the scissors. Okay. Anyways, Machad Kedei Lotzi Be'ezrata. Yes, I have to double check the thing about the fact that you're allowed to cut it, but I'm pretty sure you're allowed to cut it, and if you're allowed to cut it, then you're allowed to use scissors. So let's say I have like a little thorn stuck in my skin, and then there's no blood that's going to come out, so it's not like an issue of chavalah. So I want to take it out also. This can happen that I have a faucet, right, and the handle for the faucet came off. So I need to use pliers to open and close the faucet. So that's another example of klishim maftoli. So the pliers is klishim maftoli. I'm not using it for a mukteh purpose like finding a phone number for melacha to dial in Shabbat, but I want to get somebody's address. Okay? This is an important thing. What?
Are you going to see who your friend's parents are?
I guess so.
So we just want to finish this
one last point is that if I can get the same result without using the kli, so then I would not be allowed to use the kli shemachtol yisur, right? So if I have a kli shemachtol hetar, for example, I have a nutcracker, right? Then I can't use the kli shemachtol yisur for that purpose. Sorry, Yoav, yeah?
So kli shemachtol yisur is not mukseh.
It is mukseh, but I'm allowed to move it. Let's or tzorach makomo. If I need it for itself, I need to use it for something, some purpose, like using a hammer to open up a nut. If I don't have a nutcracker, or using my pliers to open up my faucet if the faucet handle came off. And then we'll see in a second some examples of tzorach makomo. Okay, but for other purposes, like if I don't like where it is, I can't move it. Right, or if it's in my backyard and it's going to get something's going to happen to it, so then it's also I'm not allowed to move it. Okay? Fine. Next. Tzorach Mekomo. So what's considered to be Tzorach Mekomo? Shim haya kli shim lachto li yisur. Munach b'makom shetzrichim nishtamashko. Heon shayam munach al shulchan shirotzim laniach alav ma'achalim osorim. Right? So let's say I have my Shabbat table and my telephone was left on my Shabbat table. Oh, agave mitah shirotzim nishtam alav. Or it's on my bed. And somebody left a telephone on my pillow. It could happen, right? The little kids, or they like to play with telephones. Somebody leaves a telephone on my pillow. So, same thing. So, I want to sleep there. So, I'm allowed to move it. That's considered Tzorach Mekomo. Oaki says, Shirotzin, Lashemet Alava. Let's say I have a chair that I want to sit on. Machaz, Otol, Makomacher. Vachen, Kasher, Aklim, Unach, Al Haritzpa. Makom, Shaochim, Alim, Likashabo. So, similarly, let's say, not that I want to use that place per se to put something there, but I'm afraid somebody may chas v'shalom trip over it if it's in that place. So, again, same thing. Mutar. Lift noto, page 6. Okay, I'm allowed to move it. V'chein ma'ita delet shal mechonat v'isa p'tucha makom hiluch b'nei abayit. Let's say I have the laundry machine, the door's open, and there's a place where people are going to bang into it, they may get hurt, or something like that. So then, people don't want to bump into the laundry door. So mutar l'sogra. V'chein ka'asher kli shemalachto isur mafriya l'p'tichat chalono l'skirato. Let's say I want to open or close a window, right? Or I assume the same thing would be for a door. I want to open or close a door. Right, a kli shemachtol yisur is in the way. Mutar lo tzio misham. I'm allowed to move it from there. Okay, all these things is considered to be tzorach mekomo. V'chim asher kvar herimo et hakli l'tzorach gufo mekomo. Mutar lakach oto ad hamakom shebo yesh shamor. Okay, so and we'll see more about this later on, section 15. But he says that once I pick it up, tzorach gufo mekomo, I can put it down to a safe place. I can put it down wherever I want. I don't have to just put it down in the next most convenient place. I can put it down wherever I want. Okay, now in the footnote, he just says, so let's say I have a case where I have a hammer, right, and or I have pliers, whatever, and it's in a place where it may get stolen, it may get damaged, right? So I'm not allowed to move it, right? But if I can figure out a way that I can create some sort of use for that tzorach gufo mekomo, So then I would be allowed to use it, right? So let's say I have some nuts at home. I decide I want to crack them. So then I'd be allowed to take the hammer to crack my nuts to open it. I'm not sure if it's Tzorech Mekomo also. I don't know. Yeah, it says Mekomo.
But it has to be Samuch L'Achila.
Yeah, that's a separate issue of Borer. Yeah, that's a separate issue of Borer. But I'm saying, but in terms of the actual Mukzeh, right, the point is that I can create a function in order to move this thing if I want to move it for some other purpose that's forbidden to move it. Okay? Good. Let's continue. Okay, now, Dumonos of Elokeinim Shem Melachtan Lisur, other examples. Okay? Et, pen, Iparon pencil, Mechadet sharpener, Avresh Tzvia, paintbrush, Nyalik Diva, writing paper. Okay, writing paper. So the Melach, it's made to write on. So that's called Klisha Melachto Le
Yisur.
Right? Cheshbonot Asakim, like business papers, sandpaper, that's Niyar Zchuchit, Niyar copy paper, Ner, a candle, Gafurim, matches, Masmer, Ner, Visigariot. Okay, all these cases are Klisha Melachto Le Yisur. Right?
Good question.
Maybe the business section. But I don't think the rest is considered Klisha Melachto Le Yisur. Because our poskim that say you're allowed to read the non-business sections of a newspaper on Shabbat. So I don't think it's considered Klisha Melachto Le Yisur. Okay.
What about like a textbook for school?
Unless the old is Noled, but I don't think.
What if your mailbox has like a piece of Torah inside and there's like other
so business? I could move the Torah part of it. It's not basis, I don't think so.
Is a textbook Klisha Melachto Le Yisur?
Like, if it's a business textbook, maybe. If it's a biology textbook, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. If it's natural sciences, or Ben Chaim says natural sciences, you're allowed to study on Shabbat. Yeah.
History.
I'm not sure. Jewish history, yes. Secular history, I'm not sure.
Really? You can't read a book. What about a novel?
Probably depends on the novel. I don't know.
A regular novel, fiction.
A lot of poskim are very strict.
But I don't know about doing. Can't read novels in
Shabbat. We learned the strict.
if there are inappropriate materials in the book, so you can't read it even during the week. So then it becomes.
Why can't you read it?
Has inappropriate materials.
Yeah. What's
that? Maybe they hear her. At least the thoughts. Sure. That's a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about reading books on Shabbat. Besides, well, books that have the romantic novels. Are Asur even Bechol. That's what he says.
Wow.
He doesn't use the word romantic novels, but he says like a Divrei Agavim, which is like romantic novels. He says you're not allowed to read even during the week.
Yeah. Is Hirhur Deraita or Rabbanan?
So either Yisur Deraita, Vinishmartam Yikol Tavara. It's Yisur Deraita, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So, and certainly, you know, bringing oneself to Hirhur on purpose is certainly a problem. Okay. But the yesh kelim shem lachtam li isur, so certain things that are melacha li isur. You want sakim yuchad shel manim patisha shel mateshi. Let's say I have a matzashe yahalim. I guess diamond polishers have like very special kelim that they use. I don't know. I assume
yeah,
right. Whatever it is. So those things. So since they don't use it for anything else, so that's muksim lachma chisaron kis, and therefore it's even more chamor that you can't move it in circle form.
You're not going to see that on Shabbat.
You're right, probably not. But, you know, certain knives, again, like if the Mohel's knife, the Shochet's knife, there's a lot of Shochet in the Great Egg. It's a very popular thing in Great Egg to be a Shochet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of Shochet in the Great Egg. A lot.
Made a Shochet Shabbaton in Great Egg Synagogue with hundreds of people.
I know, yeah, so. I'm saying Ashkenazim, Sephardim.
Shochet convention.
Everybody is, I thought it was just the Persians, but it's not. It's the Ashkenazim also.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a very popular thing in Great Egg to be a Shochet.
Why?
So.
Rabbi Chaim takes.
But they do it with Rabbi Loiki. They don't do it with Rabbi. It's related to Rabbi, but it's really Rabbi Loiki. He trains. He has training classes for Shechita and Great Neck.
Wait, so moving the polisher is
Chisaron Kis, and if I can't move it at all, Gufo, Mikomo, nothing. Okay. Now, okay, so certain things, and there's certain things, I won't do it inside, but certain things like certain klisha melachto liyisur, like firewood. Gasoline, certain types of soaps that you can't use on Shabbat.
Kerosene
also, yes. Dishwashing, laundry detergent, So shoe polish. So all those things are muktzamach makufa, and you can't move it at all. Sor kufa mikomo at all. It's not just kli shemachzol yisur. It's not even considered to be a kli. Okay, so it's machzol yisur. It's not even considered to be a kli. So those things would be asur, even gufo mikomo. Okay, fine. Let's continue. So he says machshir chashmal. So what about electronic devices? Okay, electronic devices. So he says. Now, there is a fan, mechonak visa, a washing machine. Mekarer is a fridge. Yeah. Also,
iPad.
And anything else that doesn't have a filament in it, an iPad, right? Dinam keklim shel malachtam leisur. So that's kli shel malachtam leisur. Aval machshirei chashmal sheyesh lahem chutz lat or guf chimum, but has a heating element in it, kegon menorah, like a lamp. Tanur chimum, let's say a heater, right? In Israel, they have like a lot of these like small heaters, or if you have like a space heater, a radiator, plata.
What about a phone that gets hot?
It doesn't get so hot, does it?
It can get hot.
Put it on the charger.
But there's no like, there's no.
What's chimum? What does he mean by fire?
Yeah, heating. I think heating. He means, but I don't think heating. Just. I don't think he means like like that type of heating. I don't think so.
No.
So I don't think so. So he says. Anyway, so he says. If they were lit when Shabbat started, they can't move it at all, right? Because it's basically the same thing as a candle, and a candle, if it's lit when Shabbat starts, it's mukse machma gufo, you can't move it at all. Okay, so but if it wasn't lit when Shabbat starts, it's klisha ma'atoli. Sorry, you can move the sorach gufo and sorach mikko. Okay, let's do the next one. Okay, now this is something that you guys, when I first heard about it, I found it to be exceedingly strange, but. Lamasa, it's on the book, so we gotta learn it, okay? Now, let's say I have Kelim Shem Misham Shim. Actually, it's really more than next one, it's really more Tet, but this is the lead in, okay? Let's say I have Kelim Shem Misham Shim Laheter Ve Yisur. Let's say things I use for both Heter and Yisur, okay? So let's see, he said.
Do you know what Kelim Shem
Misham is? Okay, but let's say I don't know.
The main purpose is for both.
So that's what he's gonna say. He's gonna say we follow the main purpose, okay? See, it's very clear, like scissors, right? It's very clear that his main purpose is Malach Tol Yisur and it's gonna be Asur, right? So you follow a majority of the use. Lefichach olar, which is a pocket knife, sheish bo misparayim, which is muktzeh. So in a muktzeh, the knife does not become muktzeh. Ki rubo sakinim shemisayim lemachal. I have like knives that I can use to cut food and stuff, so it's going to be fine. I wonder how you do tefillah kelim on something like that. You guys have to open it up all the way, open up all the knives at the same time, I guess.
Make sure the water touches all of it.
Yeah, so it has to all open at the same time. It has to touch everything at the same time.
Like open. Pocket knives have like you type like a screwdriver and stuff like that also now.
Right, so saying so you'd follow the rove shimusho, you'd follow the majority of the use. So since there's like knives in it, it's but you give it for sure, but you forget if you had one, then mostly it's tools and a minority of it is like knives and things you'd use for food and things like that. So then you would become
realistically you won't use that for like who uses that? Like carpet? Like people who are like doing
it? Right.
They use it during the
so
week.
So I guess it would depend on the specific knife. What you know? If you mean if for you the knives are like carpenter knives, right? So then you're right. So then it would be probably klishmata lisa. Right. Okay. The racket and misbarim must realize these, but the scissors themselves you shouldn't move. V'chein shaon sheish bo mechashev, because an iWatch, right? He was talking about like the very like the old school ones that have like a little screen that you like punch in the nut whatever. But you know, but this is Lachor, you know, 10 years later, I have an iWatch. So he says, I'm not sure, but you know an iWatch actually, I'm not sure. Would you say iWatch Ikaro Leheter or Ikaro Le Yisur? I don't know.
But
he's still using mostly as a watch, he'll use it. No. He'll use it mostly as a watch, or he's mostly for its for the apps and the
most of the apps, but anyways, like if you move it it's like has sensors. Like,
oh yeah,
I mean, if you just wanted a watch you wouldn't get that, I feel like.
Yeah, people get use it for what
like,
can you do?
Why do you need a digital watch?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. So people. Right. But like, I remember when I was like
a digital watch, which does have buttons on it.
Right. So then that's usually that's Rubel the Heter.
That would be Heter.
Yeah. Rubel the Heter. Right. Ooh. I remember it was like the biggest deal when I was I don't know 10 years old. I got this watch for my birthday that had like you could store, you could like type in like names and store phone numbers in it, and had like a good calculator on it.
That's pretty good.
And like, yeah, I was like really excited. It was like the biggest deal.
Even now, that's pretty good.
And you could like store memos on it.
James Bond watch.
Yeah. So like, but for like,
you
like
drive your car.
But for like, when I was 8 years old, so we're talking like 25 years ago, like it was a really, really big deal.
Torpedoes.
So.
Get picked by helicopter.
Anyway, so that case again, it's Ikaro, and also said stopwatch and countdown timer. Oh wow, I missed that watch.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, I have to go find one for old time's sake, and just find one on eBay or something for old time's sake. Okay, I'm sure on Amazon they still have them. Okay, so anyway, so he says the main purpose is laheter, to see the time. Okay, aval telephone niyad shiish b'sham, but let's say a cell phone that has a clock on it also kevan jerov shimusho ke telephone. Right, the most of you use your cell phone for is not for the clock. You mostly use it for the phone, or the apps in the case of whatever modern phones. He says you're allowed to use it l'tzara kufo, but he says don't carry it specially for that purpose. Okay? I'm not sure why not, maybe because it looks bad, or I don't know.
So iWatch is allowed, not allowed.
iWatch is not allowed because it's. Primary purpose is
yeah, for that.
No, but it would be klisha melach tol yisur, so you probably move the tzorah kufo and mikomo, right? But Daniel's saying it has like all these sensors that go off.
Yeah, if you move it in certain ways, it like shows you the time. If you get a blank screen, if you go like this, it'll show you the time.
That's the issue.
That's the problem.
For sure, man.
Okay.
Rabbi, I'm not sure if we got to this yet. A little off topic, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. Are flowers muktzeh gufo, like a vase or something? Is it muktzeh?
It's connected to the ground, then it's muktzeh.
In general,
but I don't think it's.
It's not like a rock or something like that.
I don't think so.
But it has no purpose.
You smell it.
Aren't you not allowed to touch it?
You can't water it.
You can't water it, you can smell it.
Can you go like this to a flower? Like,
if it's attached to the ground, no. But if it's not attached to the ground, then yeah.
You could touch it, rub it.
I don't see why. I'm not familiar with it being mukseh. Okay, v'chem mutar l'tatzul l'tzorech mekomo. You can also move it l'tzorech mekomo. Kigon she'etzarech ata makom ha'telefon. You need the place. Oh, so this happens a lot, right? Let's say you forgot to turn off your alarm clock. And it's Shabbat morning, and the alarm clock goes off, right? Or it's going to go off. You realize Friday night before you go to sleep, and it's going to go off. So that's considered Tzorech Mikomo.
You can move it
Tzorech Mikomo. You can move it somewhere else.
I faced that issue way too many times. One of those times, unfortunately, my phone was plugged into the charger, so I couldn't rely on that. I had to unplug it.
You can unplug it.
No, how can you unplug it?
But in that case, the screen would probably...
No, you can't. Unplugging it is you're stopping really an electric current.
Right.
But yeah.
Wait, so what can you do if your alarm's going off?
Move it somewhere else.
Move the closet, put blankets on it?
Because it's considered, even if it's klisha melach tol yisur, you still move it, tzorech kufo and tzorech mekomo.
Which one is that?
Tzorech mekomo, that's considered mekomo. Because you don't, just like you don't want it here for some other purpose, you also don't, it's a more of an expanded version of tzorech mekomo. Like, for example, the poskim say, let's say I have a, this used to happen in like sleepaway camp a lot, like, let's say I have a fan that's blowing on me. Let's say I want to keep my fan on for Shabbat, so I want to nap on Shabbat afternoon. I want to have a fan, right? But Friday night in the mountains, it's like 40 degrees outside and it's freezing. I don't want a fan blowing on me. Mm. So in that case, I could move the fan away.
Even though you put it there on purpose?
Yeah, I put it there on purpose. But right now, I need the makom. Meaning, I need it not... So actually, I once saw two different... Like the Art Scroll Muktzeh book and the... Feldheim Muktzeh book or something. One of them said Tzorech Kufo, one of them said Tzorech Mekomo for why I'm allowed to move the fan away. But both of them said that you're allowed to move the fan away.
Cool.
Okay. So he says, V'rotzeh l'harchikok, v'sha tziltzul lo yatriz minuchato. So he wants to move it away so it doesn't bother me. V'chen, sir hu klishe melach tol yisur, a pot! Right? That's klishe melach tol yisur. Kikar yudol l'bishul is made for cooking. Ava kasha yish potasha, if I have food inside... So then everything's about the food. And the pot's not, it's not melach tol yisur, I can do whatever I want. Well, however, once I take everything out, and let's say I don't need the place. Let's say I don't need the place. It's on my table, it's in the kitchen counter, whatever, I don't need the place. He says, no, but I'm still allowed to move it. Why? Graf shel rei, which Rav Hashem will get to in Yud Bet. It's disgusting, it's distasteful to have my dirty pot sitting on my counter, so then I'd be allowed to move it. Tanur afiya, let's say I have an oven. So Ashu Mishamesh Gam L'achsun Tavniyotu Ma'afim, even though it's used for storage sometimes, I'm not sure who stores their stuff.
People do. If they don't use it.
But they store their baked goods in the oven? Really? Yeah.
Orders.
I never heard that before.
My grandma does it.
Yeah? Yeah. Awesome. Good. I'm glad she does it because then this makes more sense. So it says, since the main purpose is for baking, Klishim left all these to her. Yeah? Cool. Okay, anyways, sorry, so you're allowed to open the door to take out the food. But that's Sarach Mekomon. I need a place. So I want to put stuff in there to keep it there. So you're allowed to do it because that's all considered Torah Kufo. Okay, because I need the oven for purposes of storing my food. Considered to be Torah Kufo, I can open the oven door, I can close the oven door, etc. Okay, just be careful you don't have any lights or anything going on. Okay, next page.
What do you do with all your food in the fridge and it's Shabbat and you know the light's going to go on? What do you do?
What do you do?
I have a good question.
You ask the non-Jew to come and turn off the light. That's what you do.
We have to go out for our Arvid soon.
Okay, I'm assuming if you have like a couple minutes, I assume he's not going to be exactly 10:15, but we'll stop
in front of us.
What?
He started late.
Yeah, right. I assume he's not going to be exactly 10:15. Okay, yeah, I mean, you're allowed, most Poskim hold you're allowed to have a non-Jew open the door because that's considered Psik Reshe. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to Psik Reshe. And unscrewing the light bulb, is considered a Malacha Sheinat Tzricha Legufa, because when you're doing kibbutz, you're extinguishing the light. You're not doing it for purposes of the pecham. You're not trying to create something else. You just want the light off. That's Malacha Sheinat Tzricha Legufa, which is certainly the Rabbanan. And a lot of posts hold that you can ask a non-Jew to do Malacha Sheinat Tzricha Legufa for you with a Tzarach Mitzvah, since it's a Tzarach Mitzvah because you need your food in the fridge. So then you're allowed to do that. The best thing would be to hint. If you could hint, That's the best. But if you can't hint, you can ask him straight up. If he's not going to get the hint, or you can't hint, whatever, you can ask him straight up to open. I believe Rav Avadia holds that position. Okay, tefillin. What about tefillin?
Oh,
so klishim lachtoli isur because you can't put tefillin on Shabbat Yom Tov. Therefore, only with Torah Kufo mikomo. So what's Torah Kufo? So let's say you want to keep it as a sigula. I want to wear tefillin as a sigula for sakana. Do you know anybody who does this on Shabbat? I don't know.
Wow.
Apparently, I feel doing it on Shabbat. On Shabbat? Yeah?
No.
Okay, anyway. Tzorach Mekomo. So this happens a lot, right? Let's take my talit, right? I forgot to take my talit before Shabbat. I only have one talit. It's in my tefillin, right? So it said I'm allowed to move it, right? I'm allowed to do it. Make sure you don't have anything else mukseh, or that your non-mukseh is more valuable than your mukseh.
Random question. Is it going allowed to touch your tefillin?
I've never heard of a halacha that he can't. I assume if he does it in a respectful way and you need to. I've never heard of a halacha that you can't. Okay.
But he wouldn't.
I leave my phone on the bench, my mom always screams to me, don't leave it on the bench, like I don't want to.
Oh, no free to touch it?
Yeah.
Even the bag?
Better not.
I don't know.
Or like my svarim. She doesn't want like
Maria.
That svarim I've never heard of. As long as she doesn't put them upside down. As long as she doesn't put them upside down somewhere. So, yeah, anyway.
Or misplaces them.
What?
Or misplaces them.
I'll tell you a story. Apparently there's a sigula that if the baby is not positioned in the right place in the womb to come out, it's feet first, and it's very hard to deliver a baby that's feet first. You have to check to make sure it's from the stipler, I think. Check to make sure your svarim are all in the right order. So there's a rabbi in YU, his name is Rabbi Michal Zilberman. We'll end with this story. So Michal Zilberman, so he, the baby was not in the right place, so he went and checked all his svarim, and he found one sefer. I don't remember which sefer it was, but he fixed the sefer. No. Next appointment, the baby was in the right direction.
Wow.
And the Baruch Hashem, the baby was born, everything was okay, and they named the baby Meir after the rabbi who wrote that sefer. They named it Meir after that. Okay. Yeah. Nice story. Nice story.
Meaning like the book's upside down, you're saying?
Yeah, upside down. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. It's a bug out. Anyway, so maybe we'll just stop here. But the next topic is klishim melachto leheter. Apparently, this is the more interesting thing, that there is a yisur de rabbanan, and in certain circumstances of moving even klishim melachto leheter, certain klishim melachto leheter for no purpose whatsoever. Right? Rav Avadia, even if somebody's a little anxious and he's like fidgety, he like needs to like move things to like calm himself down. Rav Avadia says that certain things, even klishim achtol lehater, a person shouldn't move. B'ezras Hashem, next week.